It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who are supporting us. We are an independent voice out there as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And it is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, and now the latest silent thief, and that is government-induced inflation. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. So I do appreciate you all joining us very much. You each have a purpose. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You are not alone. We were made for this time in history. And so be sure and just step into this moment. And thank you to this great team that I get to work with. And that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Friday to you, producer Steve.
Yeah, it's that magical day, and it got here pretty quick this week. I don't know what the difference was, but yeah, it's Friday already.
It's like, I mean, it seems like it's Monday and then it's Friday. I cannot believe it because there's so much that we have to do. But this weekend, be sure, get inspired and listen to America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson. That is on KLZ 560 AM, KLZ 100.7 FM, Sundays 3 and 10 PM. And our show is with retired Army Major General Joe Arbuckle. And quite a story, Steve. He started out as a private and he ended up a general.
Well, yeah, that immediately, having been in enlisted service, that got my attention immediately.
Yeah, it is a great story. He actually was an advisor in 1972 in Vietnam, and I'd always heard a lot about the Tet Offensive. But I did not realize there was this huge offensive by the North Vietnamese in 1972. They call it the Easter Offensive or the Spring Offensive. And so you are guaranteed to learn a lot. And again, that's a great interview, 3 and 10 p.m. on Sunday. And one of the sponsors for both these shows, who I greatly appreciate, is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations, Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And there's more information on my website under the Sponsors tab on all their specials. Football season is right around the corner, and so they'll be doing specials for that. But kids eat free on Saturdays with the purchase of an adult entree, and also happy hour. They have all kinds of specials. They're holding the line right now on those specials, even though things are inflating. So great place to get together with friends on that. Producer Steve, we're going to have quite a show today. We'll be talking with Leslie Manoukian. She is the founder of the Health Freedom Defense Fund. She's the writer and producer of the Greater Good movie. And we're going to be talking about forced vaccinations, trying to marginalize people. It is sure to be a great conversation.
Well, with your notes, I went poking around a little bit to find out a little bit more about her. And then this documentary that she did. I'm really eager to hear what she has to say, because obviously, was the documentary 2010, 2011?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
All right, so she did a lot of research to get ready to do that, and I can't wait. Obviously, it's got to be coming to roost. You know, the chickens are coming to roost, and it's just, in this environment we're in here now, I'm sure she's going to have something that's just going to be riveting.
Well, I think so. And medical freedom. We never realized how important that is. And so we'll be talking about all of that here in segments 2, 3, and 4. And we'll talk with Hal Van Herke at the bottom of the hour as well. You know him. He is the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool. And he is an entrepreneur. And always, I appreciate them as sponsors, but I also appreciate him for all the wisdom that he shares with us as well. Because I was thinking about all of this force that's going on out there, Steve, the coercion, the fear, the coercion, I thought, who would be a good person to quote? And I decided on Elie Wiesel. And he was a Romanian-born American writer, professor, political activist, Nobel laureate, and Holocaust survivor. He authored 57 books, written mostly in French and English, including Night, which was a work based on his experiences as a Jewish prisoner in the Auschwitz and Buchenwald concentration camps. He was born in 1928, and he died in 2016. And actually, the correct pronunciation is probably Buchenwald. But this is what he said, Steve. He said, the opposite of love is not hate, but indifference. Indifference creates evil. Hatred is evil itself. Indifference is what allows evil to be strong, what gives it power. What do you think about that?
Well, okay, none of the concentration camps were picnics, but Buchenwald and Auschwitz were probably the most notorious. And, you know, that alone gets my attention whenever I hear his name and thinking what he went through and then what he was able to overcome in coming to the U.S. and, you know, and writing the way he did.
Well, for sure. So I take a lot of heart from that particular quote. And we've got this big show planned for you. So let's go ahead and get started with that. We're going to go to break, and then we'll be right back with Leslie Manoukian.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I am thrilled to have on the line with me Leslie Manoukian. She is a former Wall Street executive. She produced and wrote the documentary The Greater Good, and she is the president and founder of the Health Freedom Defense Fund. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. It's so great to be with you. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Well, I am so excited that we have connected. And I wanted to, first of all, jump in here. You have done a documentary. Now, you were a Wall Street executive, and going from that to creating a documentary, that's quite a jump.
It is quite a jump. So, yeah, I worked for Goldman Sachs, and then I went to one of my clients, a company called Alliance Capital, and I ran their European growth portfolio management and research businesses, and for about, I don't know, six, seven years. And what happened was, you know, I was getting sick and sicker and sicker, and I didn't know what was going on with me, and I went to go and see a homeopath, and it helped me so much to stabilize that I then enrolled in homeopathy college, and I learned about the vaccine issue on the very first day of homeopathy college. Now, I was 100% pro-vaccine. I had no questions about vaccines. The reason that I was sick, even though I didn't realize it, is that I had gone to Southeast Asia after I graduated from business school, and before I went, I got every single shot that they would give me. I had no idea there was any downside, and it just slowly eroded my health over time. And what ended up happening was the first day in homeopathy college, I was living in London, England, and the person who was running orientation said, you know, we're going to talk about all these topics over the next 3 years. We're going to talk about nutrition. We're going to talk about blockages to cure. We're going to talk about vaccine damage. And I raised my hand and was and said, you know, what are you talking about? Vaccines are the greatest invention of humankind. And he said, well, that's one perspective, and we're going to learn another. And I thought, gosh, this guy's nuts, you know. I thought he was crazy. And I, you know, left the class, and I thought, okay, whatever. But afterwards, I went out into the hallway, and there was a bookstore, and, you know, laid out in the hallway. And he came up, and he's like, here, read this book. So I read this book, and it just blew my mind because I'm an analyst kind of geek by nature. And when I read the book, the information in it was jaw-dropping. It was a book called called Vaccines, Are They Really Safe and Effective? But most importantly, being an analyst, I went and looked in the back of the book, and there were 950 or 60 footnotes to references in the medical literature and the mainstream news, you know, mainstream media going back 100 plus years, talking about neurological complications from vaccinations, talking about, you know, arthritis and autoimmune issues from vaccinations, talking about death. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. You know, I'm not an anti-vax person. I was fully vaccinated. It never occurred to me that my health problems might be related, but it really started to make me wonder. And so I thought, oh my gosh, I am someday going to go and make a movie about this so that I can learn for myself and share with the world what I learned. And so that was the impetus behind The Greater Good, essentially, my movie.
What year was this when this all started then?
Oh, gosh. This was around, I'd say it was around 2000. It was before my son was born and before I probably was even married, I started learning about this stuff. I got married in September of 2000. So, yeah, it was somewhere in there. And then I finished homeopathy school, I think, in 2003 or four. So, yeah, it was early on, you know, about 20 years ago. And then that set me on this path, which will, once we, you know, we'll get there, but set me on a path to really go and start researching conflicts of interest in medicine and in media and in government. And, you know, that will bring us to here. But basically, it was a very long time ago, and I didn't know what was going on with me, but it kind of set me on a journey that helped me to start to figure it out.
It's so interesting that you bring that up, because I've always thought that vaccinations were, you know, just really important. I had my kids vaccinated. I'm old enough that instead of vaccinations, I actually had, like, the measles and chicken pox and all that stuff. So I got all my immunity the old-fashioned way, if you will. But I'm kind of late to this whole thing, and it really happened a few years ago here in the Colorado legislature. I had a woman that reached out to me. I'd met her at one of my speaking engagements, and she said, you need to take a look at this piece of legislation. And I looked at it, and this was pre-COVID. And I looked at it, and I just saw this huge danger in this legislation, that it was looking into the future, and it was giving unelected bureaucrats the power on what we would be forced to put into our bodies. And that is just so against our principles as human beings, that at that point in time, I realized we have danger here. And so that was just, it was just a few years ago. And then in Colorado, with the COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption, the legislature pushed through some other vaccination legislation. And I looked at this, Leslie, and realized they've been playing long ball on a public policy field here. And we didn't even really know it, but it really put in place this huge reaction to what happened to our economy, to our lives, when the government, the bureaucrats and the politicians came in and closed things down, and now we're seeing forced vaccinations. So I was much later to taking a look at this, Leslie.
Well, unfortunately, what you said is exactly right. I have a blog. Well, first of all, my movie, you can see at greatergoodmovie.org if people want to watch it. And then I have a kind of a personal blog, which is just lesliemanukian.com. And I wrote an article there about 6 or 7 months ago, called The Slow March to Authoritarianism. And what I do is explain some of the steps, not all of the steps, but some of the steps that got us to where we are here today. And what people don't realize is that just going back 20 years, go to 9/11. 9/11, everyone was terrified. It was a horrific incident. And what happened was, within 45 days, legislation had been drafted and passed called the Patriot Act, which allowed warrantless searches of Americans. And then that, you know, unleashed what up until that point would have been considered an egregious violation of our basic human rights, not to mention our constitutional rights. And so we started a mass surveillance program. And then within a couple of weeks of that, other legislation called the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act was introduced. And it's been ratified in part or in whole or in part in, I believe, 43 states now. And this was really critical information as well, because that legislation, all on the basis of 9/11 and the potential for bioterrorism, that legislation accorded extraordinary powers to governors and to unelected health bureaucrats, the state, you know, departments of health, in the event of a disease outbreak. So this was going on 20 years ago. And then you look at, in 2005, they passed the PREP Act, which is what President Trump invoked in this, you know, what, February, I think, February or March of 2020. And the PREP Act allows, it vests power in the Secretary of Health and Human Services to declare an emergency. And then that initiates a whole slew of contracts and different things. So all of the companies that produce what they deem medical countermeasures, such as masks, tests, and shots, none of those have any liability, all because of the PREP Act. And not only do none of the manufacturers of those things have liability, have no liability, but it's also those who work with them or people who are deemed a program administrator. So the schools and the you know, drug stores and the all these different places that are selling and administering these products, they have no liability. So this is just, I mean, you can see it's a recipe for disaster. And it's, I mean, once you dig deeper, it seems to me that there was, that this was all the foundation, you know, was put in place in order to get us to where we are. And there were other pieces of it as well, in that there's something called the National Defense Authorization Act. And this is renewed and revised every year or 2 years and signed by the president. And the National Defense Authorization Act has essentially deemed that any American can be labeled a terrorist or an enemy combatant for a variety of reasons, which are nothing to do with being a terrorist, but just, you know, having opposition or questioning the government and things like that. And there's also been the suspension of the writ of habeas corpus, which is one of the most basic, I mean, the foundational principle of Western civilization, that we have the right to appear before a judge and appeal against wrongful imprisonment. For people who are deemed these domestic threats, you don't have habeas corpus. So you can be detained indefinitely. And that's the way it is right now. So all these different pieces of the puzzle have been put in place, and I've only skimmed over the surface of them, to get us to a point where we're still in an emergency a year and a half, more than a year and a half into this. This doesn't make any sense. An emergency is clearly something that should be short-term and well-defined, and yet here we are, here we find ourselves. And so when all this stuff happened last year, because of all the research I've done for almost 20 years, I unfortunately had a very clear perspective as to where it was headed, and it was towards lockdowns and mandates and marginalization of those who choose not to comply with some of these measures.
Well, that is exactly where we are. Now, do you think that we're headed to another lockdown?
Absolutely. I think that the way it's been paved for that for a couple of months. So I take a slightly different perspective about general legacy media than most. I tend to view it more as a indicator of where things are going and how public opinion is being shaped, rather than journalism or something that's reporting on what's going on. And I say that as a preface to this. For the last month or so, we have been hearing a variety of reports. We've been hearing from Israel that there's a spike in cases. That's what we heard in early July, and it all started on the 24th or 25th of June. And they had had very, very low case numbers until the 24th or 25th of June, and then it jumped from 10 a day to 200 a day, okay? And then I heard from the Seychelles, which is one of the most vaccinated countries on the planet, they'd had six deaths, even though 70% of the population was vaccinated. And then you start to hear about that Israel's going to re-implement mask mandates and they're going to consider full lockdown measures again. Then you start to hear in Britain. And then what comes next is a couple of weeks later is, oh, all of the cases are in the unvaccinated, even though that's not what the data actually shows. So what ended up happening was it started leaking out that in Israel, in the UK and other places, that somewhere between 40 and 80% of the cases are actually in fully vaccinated individuals. And but you hear the rhetoric in the United States with the president saying that people who don't get the shot are killers. They're killers, I'm telling you, man, he said. You've heard Fauci saying that we're going to have local mandates in order to get to the 93 million people who haven't gotten the shot. We have people going door to door, literally, I mean, asking papers, please, essentially, have you gotten the shot? And if not, pressuring you at your own doorstep and then calling someone who will administer the shot to you. So all of these things are part of a bigger, I think, kind of mosaic. And I think they're building. Clearly now, what I just saw this morning is that the unvaccinated are to blame for everything that's going on. And there's a new variant that's developing in the unvaccinated. And the reason that they're saying that is because, one, they've been massaging the numbers in order to make it look, which I can drill down on if you want to hear more about that. But they've basically been faking the numbers by not counting breakthrough cases in vaccinated people since April, and not reporting them unless they end up in hospital or death. So basically not counting those cases that happen in the vaccinated in the United States. But abroad, in Israel and the UK, we have very good data that the cases are predominantly in the vaccinated, and that they, and it's all Delta variant. So now they're trying to say that there's a new variant because the narrative about the vaccine working is breaking down. So now they have to blame the unvaccinated. And I think the whole point is that they're saying, you know, you are going to be pushed to the margins of society. A former Obama administration official said the other day, I think yesterday, that you will need to be put on a no-fly list if you are unvaccinated. Let's put them all on a no-fly list. I mean, this is just insanity. In Italy, they're calling for people to not be able to vote or run for office if they're not vaccinated, and not to be able to travel on long-distance trains and things. So, yes, I don't think this is over by any stretch of the imagination. And I think we are absolutely headed for a lockdown again. And you already see that, you know, New Orleans, Louisiana, San Francisco, San Mateo, they've re-implemented mask mandates. California, New York City, and the VA have all mandated the shots for their staff. And the problem is, as the powers that be view it, is that 93 million American adults haven't complied. And so the way that they're going to make them comply is by forcing them to the margins of society and aligning them so that, yeah.
It's absolutely it's unbelievable, Leslie. We're going to go to break. I'm talking with Leslie Manoukian, and she is a former Wall Street executive. She's done this documentary, The Greater Good. We're going to talk about that. And then she's also the founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund. So we'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who support the work that we're doing. We are an independent voice and searching for truth and clarity on these issues by looking at them through this lens of freedom versus force. Force versus freedom. And on the line with me is Hal Van Herke. He and his wife, Linnea, are truly entrepreneurs. They own Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And they are sponsors of both of our shows. That is the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories. Hal Van Herke, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. It's always great to be on.
And yesterday was your great event, your knife sharpening, your everyday carry knife sharpening event. And how did that go?
Yeah, we had a little event for the local community to come out and get your everyday carry knife sharpened. It was great. We're really proud of our knife sharpening service. We can sharpen everyday carry knives, kitchen knives, any knife you have. We can sharpen it. And if you want to know how much it costs, it's generally $1.75 an inch for your knife. So if you have a 6-inch knife, you want to get sharpened, just multiply $1.75 times 6, and you're there.
Okay.
So, great service, professionally done, best equipment available on the planet, professionally trained sharpeners. So we're very proud of that service.
Well, and it's a service that I think is really, really needed. People do invest in their knives, so to be able to get them sharpened and continue their use, do knives ever wear out, or can you just continue to sharpen them forever, or do they ever wear out?
The way we sharpen it takes very little steel off of the knife, or in some cases none. But you know, over time they will get to the point where you've sharpened them back into the thicker part of the blade, to the point where they either have to be reprofiled or they start to lose their functionality.
But
that's over many years.
Well, it's a great new service that you have. And again, when you invest in these knives, it's important to have a professional that will be sharpening them as well. And people can get more information at castlegate.com. And Hal, jumping over here, this conversation that we're having with Leslie Manoukian regarding the potential shutdowns, just what is happening out there. What's your read on this, Hal?
Yeah, I think that one thing that it really brought to mind for me is something that I've mentioned on your show several times, is that the biggest threat right now to force vaccinations or a vaccine passport or to any of our individual freedoms going forward is this really unholy alliance between big government and big corporations, whether it's the big social media platforms, big media, or even big corporations like Walmart, Amazon, et cetera, because these are the instruments that the government is using to carry the water for them on this. They're the ones implementing these shutdowns. If you look at the shutdowns in New York City, they're saying, well, you can't go to government locations, but you also can't go to these locations. The very first groups of people that were jumping on the mask mandate for their employees and for their customers most recently were large corporations, where I can see around town now when I walk into some of the major stores, they're asking you to wear masks. This is the textbook literal definition of what's called corporatism, which is the signature element of fascism. And we know how that went in Italy under Mussolini and in Germany under Hitler. And this is when the government sits back and makes the dictates and has their big corporations carry the agenda. So I think it's very important for small businesses to push back against this, for all businesses to push back against this, and for people to support the ones that are challenging the government and challenging this trend and fighting for freedom, to support them with their business and their support and PR, public relations for the small businesses that are fighting this.
Well, and that is so important in small businesses. They are the engine of the American economy. And Castlegate Knife and Tool is one of those great small businesses out there. So, Hal, thank you so much. I so appreciate your entrepreneurship. I also appreciate your partnership. And I also appreciate your wisdom. So thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Kim.
And I so appreciate all of my sponsors. And on the line with me is Leslie Manoukian. She is a former Wall Street executive, and she has written and produced this documentary, The Greater Good. Leslie, when did you release this documentary?
Well, it came out 10 years ago, April 2nd of 2011. We started making it in 2007, but those things are very, very, they're a labor of love, let me tell you. A documentary, depending on, you know, the quality, can take 3 to 5 years to make. And so it was a long time, and 20 years of research, you know.
Wow. So tell us about this, The Greater Good.
So as I mentioned earlier, I was working on Wall Street and getting sicker and sicker and didn't know why. And I kept going to the doctor and asking, you know, what was wrong. And he finally said, I know you're sick, you know you're sick, but you should go and see a homeopath or an acupuncturist. Because I can't help you. Western medicine can't help you. And that put me on the road towards homeopathy. And then I learned about this and about vaccines, and that there was, you know, that they're not safe for every single person in the same dose and in the same numbers. And I started researching it. And The Greater Good was the culmination of many, many years of research. And what we did was we followed the stories of three families whose children were affected by vaccinations, and we wove together those stories with the expert perspective of doctors, scientists, and advocates from all perspectives on the issue. And so what we did was we had, you know, some of the most prominent pro-vaccine scientists sharing their perspective, and then we had some of the doctors who are seeing vaccine injury in their practices talk about that. And then we had some other activists. And so the main person in the film was a woman named Barbara Lowe Fisher, who is the president and co-founder of the National Vaccine Information Center. So that was kind of what the whole film is about. And we basically talk about what we do and what we don't know and why there are questions about vaccinations for a lot of people.
Well, and people can go to your website. This is Leslie, and it's is it Leslie Manoukian? Is that the correct spelling?
Yes, it is. Manoukian, Manoukian.com. So okay. That's to see my kind of personal blog. But then I also have the movie is at greatergoodmovie.org, and there are tons of resources on that website as well. 200 science, you know, papers published in the medical literature documenting autoimmune disease and death and learning disabilities and arthritis and cognitive impairment and a whole spectrum of injuries that result from vaccinations, which are just not talked about.
Okay. And so you can go to the website, thegreatergoodmovie.org, and then can you purchase it right there? I see that it's $4.95 to watch it. Is that right? And you can just
yes,
go ahead and do all that right there?
Yes, you can watch it online there.
Okay.
Yes,
very good.
You can.
And then you can buy the DVD, it says also. And again, so that is greatergoodmovie.org, greatergoodmovie.org. I have
and Can I just say, our objective was just to basically share information that wasn't making it into the public domain. And we were very naive because we thought the only reason it wasn't making it into the public domain is because people just didn't know. I really believe that if we just made that movie and shared with people that there was a debate and that it was real and it was legitimate and there were genuine scientists publishing research and asking questions about the ingredients and shots and the impact of them on our children and on healthy adults, I thought if we did that, that health officials, would have the conversation that needs to happen, that the media would report it, that Congress would get involved, and that all things would happen. And instead, it was crickets. It was quite an eye-opener for me.
I'm just thinking about young parents out there now, because the research that I've done is the number of vaccinations that were given to my children is significantly less than what kids are being given now. And so that schedule is increased significantly. And I guess one of the follow the money things is Big Pharma makes money if there's more and more vaccines that are given to kids. And of course, then if you come in and mandate them, then they make more and more money on that. But what about that mom and dad out there that, with little ones, that they want the very best for their kids? They want to take care of them. And their doctors are all recommending these vaccines. What do you say to them?
Well, to those people, you have to encourage them, really beseech them to go out and do their own research. And when I say go out and do their own research, unfortunately, you can't look to the CDC for the evidence that we show in our film or is on the website and on other websites. You can't, because they don't talk about it and they don't show it. So you really have to go and look at the National Vaccine Information Center. You used to be able to go to Mercola.com. He had amazing information, but he's been threatened so much, he's taking his website down today. 25 years, 15,000 articles, he's taking them down tonight because he's been threatened. So the point is that people have to go and research for themselves. And I want to just connect the dots of what you just said, Kim, because it's really important that people understand the background. In the 1970s and early 80s, there were so many children were suffering catastrophic vaccine injury, brain injuries from the DPT shot, the diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus shot, that parents sued the vaccine makers. And they went to jury trials. They went to trial, and the juries awarded them millions and millions of dollars. So much so that the vaccine industry went to Congress and basically said, we're going to stop making vaccines if you don't protect us. And what ended up happening was Congress passed something called the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986. It was signed by Reagan in 86, and it really took effect in 1988. And that act did some really, really horrible things and a couple of good things. The most horrible thing it did was it gave virtually complete immunity to the vaccine makers for financial and legal liability for their products. You cannot sue a vaccine maker if something happens to you or your child from a vaccine ever since that. So as you mentioned, the government mandates the shots. The families go and get them for their children, and then something happens and they're on their own essentially. What they can do is they can apply to something called the vaccine court, the National Vaccine Compensation Program, but it's very, very difficult to get an award there, and it can't happen until your child is already injured. So basically, you've got the situation where the vaccine makers have no liability. The government is mandating them, so their number of shots, there's an incentive to keep increasing the number of shots. And so what happened was, in the early 1980s, children got 11 doses of 4 vaccines in their first year of life. And today, a child who follows the schedule will get 26 or 7 doses of 9 vaccines in their first year of life, starting at birth. The hepatitis B vaccine is given within 12 hours of birth for a disease that 99% of children have zero risk of contracting because it's sexually transmitted or IV drug use, needle transmitted. So we have a situation where the vaccination schedule has exploded. You and I'm 57, so I was born in 64, and I got a few shots in my first year of life, and then I got a few shots at school, and then that was it. And then now children, if they follow the schedule, it's 72 doses of 17 vaccines now.
It's rather remarkable, Leslie. And I look at this.
It's overwhelming, Kim. It's just, I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's shocking. How did this happen? I mean, can anybody argue that it is so much more dangerous today than it was in 1985? There weren't kids getting sick everywhere and dying, and there weren't all these problems. I mean, when I was little, we all had the chicken pox, and not only did we have the chicken pox, but we flew on an airplane with the chicken pox, and no one said a word because it was so... It was just a rite of passage of childhood, you know?
Try doing that these days, Leslie Manoukian. We're going to go to break here in just a moment, but before we do that, I'm talking with Leslie Manoukian, and there's really three websites to take a look at, and one of them is the Greater Good or greatergoodmovie.org, correct? Get that right, greatergoodmovie.org, and then also your Leslie Manoukian, and that is LeslieManoukian. And be sure and check that out. That's .com. And then we're going to be talking about this latest one. And you are the founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund. And oh my gosh, did you ever believe that we would be doing what's going on here in America right now? So we're going to go to break. And this is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Leslie Manoukian. You will not want to miss this next segment.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who support what we are doing. We are an independent voice. We're an alternative voice out there. We search for truth and clarity on these issues by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force. Force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. On the line with me is Leslie Manoukian. She is a former Wall Street executive. She has produced the movie The Greater Good, and then she is the founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund. And Leslie Manoukian never dreamed how important health freedom would be, but we're facing it right now with these forced mandates and forced vaccinations and just all that's going on in America. This is very important. So what's going on with Health Freedom Defense Fund?
Well, Kim, the movie and my work for the last 20 years really solidified in me the importance of protecting our most basic of human rights, which is bodily autonomy. I don't think that there's anything that really can trump that. You know, people say that freedom of speech is important, and I 100% agree. But, I mean, if you are an animal and you can be, you know, if you can be forced to inject something into your body or put something in your body or eat something that you don't want to eat or take a drug you don't want to eat, then you're really just an animal, right, even if you have free speech. And so Health Freedom Defense Fund, I founded because this slow erosion of our rights has been going on for a very, very long time, and it's really accelerated in the last few years. And so because of all my research and what has been going on in the last few years before we got to 2020, it was very clear to me what was going to go on with respect to the reaction, you know, the official response to this outbreak. And Health Freedom Defense Fund is here to protect our health freedom. So we have filed a bunch of lawsuits. We've already forced the Los Angeles Unified School District to back down from their vaccine mandate for their employees. And we helped some of their employees to sue the school district. We've filed a federal a lawsuit against the Biden administration over their travel mask mandate for airplanes and travel hubs and things like that. And this week we actually filed, we're helping a school teacher in Arizona to defend his right to not wear a mask at school. And we've got many, many other things in the works. So basically, we're in a situation where we are seeing essentially medical tyranny imposed on us under the guise of health. And the truth is that these measures are not really about our health. There's a huge debate going on. There are tons of scientists and doctors who say that masks are, one, extremely dangerous, and two, they don't work. And the CDC's own data shows that. And yet they are continuing to state in public that they work and mask us. And, you know, masking is really dehumanizing, right? It conceals our avatar, our face, the way that we interact with everybody else in society, right? So masks are, I think, a really, really dangerous norm to be setting. And then you've got the forced testing that's going on, and, you know, all these universities are saying if the kids won't get the shots, then they have to be tested every week, and businesses are piling on as well. Now, these tests are really invasive, and they're also very inaccurate. And so then you can be quarantined for 2 weeks or something because you've tested positive, even though there's a very good likelihood that it's a false positive, and there's a huge debate about the tests and whether or not they're real and legitimate. And then we've got these shots. And let's be honest, these are extremely new technology, brand new technology, mRNA, injecting genetic code into your system. And they're also, you know, you're breaking the skin, your barrier. You are being forced to inject something into your body that's experimental, that's a revolutionary new technology, that when tested in animals, killed all the animals. That's a fact. And most importantly, and that's causing all sorts of adverse reactions in people. And that's, you can find this online from the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, VAERS, that the government runs. 500,000 reports of adverse reactions, 45,000 serious adverse reactions, and somewhere around 10,000 deaths. And yet, these shots are not being pulled off the market. They're not being halted. And most importantly, like I said, if we don't have the right to choose what we put into our bodies, then we are not free. That's the bottom line. And I 100% agree with you. If they have to resort to coercion in order to get people to take this, then there's a problem with the product. Let the market decide. Let people make their own decisions, you know?
Well, and I have a lot of people in my life that I care immensely about that have chosen to get the vaccine, and that should be their right to do that. I like informed consent. I like to make sure that all the information is out there available to people as they are making their decisions. And so it's beyond belief that this, sometimes I feel like this is just a bad dream that's happening in America. But it's not. And so now this movement to marginalize at least 93 million people. I'm not sure they're even telling us the truth on the number of people that have been vaccinated, because I think that there are more people that are choosing the wait and see approach on this than the mainstream media will actually probably indicate. But anyway, 93 million people, that's a lot of people that they're going to work to marginalize, Leslie. What do you think about that?
Yeah, they're going to work to marginalize. And you're right, the number is higher because it's 93 who are unvaccinated, up according to the official figures. But there's another big piece of that, which is that roughly 20% of the people who got the first shot of the two-shot series didn't get the second shot.
Why is that?
What did that tell you? Why do you think? Why would people not go and get their second shot? Probably because they had a terrible adverse reaction. And here's the thing. It is not being discussed in the mainstream media. People are dying. Many, many people have died from them, even young people. People are developing blood clots. People are having strokes. They're developing bruising. And then people who are near the people who've gotten the shots are actually being affected as well. I've heard stories of husbands who sleep next to a wife who got the shot who have unbelievable testicular pain. I know young women who have roommates in college who have gotten the shot and they didn't themselves, and their periods have been changed. I know a young woman who got the shot and She's the niece of a friend of mine's friend, and she's had a period she's been bleeding heavily for 15 days, and this has never happened to her before. We know that miscarriages have increased. And most importantly, we know from something called the biodistribution reports that were obtained through Japanese authorities on the Pfizer shot, that the lipid nanoparticle carrier, so that there's all this genetic material and it's carried in this like fatty kind of envelope in order to make it go through your body, get into your cells and things. This stuff is accumulating in higher proportions in the ovaries. What is that doing to children? What is that going to do to young women? Will they ever be able to have babies? We don't know. And we do know that they're having all sorts of irregular periods, several times in 2 months, in a month or 2 months. And then on top of that, there's this other big thing, which is that there have been, I think it's been a couple thousand cases by now of what's called myocarditis and pericarditis. Myocarditis is inflammation of the heart. Pericarditis is inflammation of the sac that surrounds the heart. And this is happening predominantly in younger men. People who are like 16 to 24 or 5, I think. And they essentially now have the heart of a 70-year-old after this. And they have no risk from this illness. This is insanity. And here's the thing. I'm connected to so many doctors and scientists. Dr. Mike Yeadon, who was Pfizer's chief scientific officer for, I think, 16 or 17 years, he's come out saying that, you know, listen, there is no way that this is an accident. It's no way it's an oversight because the data is so important. And just to give people perspective, in the swine flu outbreak of 1976, about 40 million Americans were vaccinated for that. And roughly 600 developed Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is paralysis. And about 25 to 50 people died from the shot, and they pulled the shot off the market. Why are we in a situation now where 10,000 have died, 45,000 have had serious adverse reactions, and 500,000 have had reactions, and nothing's being done? And it's acknowledged that those numbers are way, way less. So Health Freedom Defense Fund is working to expose what we believe is mistruths being put out by the mainstream media and by health agencies. And so we are filing lawsuits against vaccine mandates, mask mandates, and other mandates in order to expose this. And we've got a bunch in the works. And more than anything, we need listeners' support, because we can't do this work without their support. So that's a bit of what's going on. And I think that it's going to get worse, Kim, because they have not achieved what they wanted to achieve.
And what is, that's the big question. Why? We always talk about follow the money, but it seems more than just that. What do you think? What's the big why on this? How do you answer that?
Gosh, that is such a huge question. And to be honest, I can only speculate. What I think is the better way to think about it is, why do they care so much that everybody receive these shots? Why are they pushing it so hard? Why is there such a coordinated agenda in countries all over the world? It's not just here. And why is it, I mean, I don't know the answer to this, but why is it that five leaders of countries who refuse the shot have all been assassinated? Why is that? Why?
I did not know that.
So hard?
I did not know that. So where did this happen?
Well, the Tanzanian president was... He supposedly had a heart issue, but he didn't have a heart issue. He had some, you know, he died, strangely, after testing papaya, testing birds, a goat, I think a can of Coke or something like that, and finding all these positives. So all of these different things tested positive for SARS-CoV-2. And he refused, and he's a scientist, actually, and he said that this test is not capable of telling us what they say it tells us, and we're not doing it. So he really shunned them and exposed them, and he wound up dead. And now they've installed someone new who is very pro the World Health Organization, pro the UN, the IMF, and pro vaccines. And I think Burundi, and I'm trying to think of all the other countries, and the most recent one was Haiti. Same thing. All of these leaders, all men of color, have rejected the shots for their countries and wound up dead. And it's generally believed, and I think it's been fairly documented in the, not in the mainstream media, but in the independent media, that they were assassinated. And so I think that, you know, coming full circle to your question, we really have to ask ourselves, if government has to force this on us and thinks it's their prerogative to do so, first of all, we've got a problem, because government shouldn't have that power. If government has the power to tell us what to put in our bodies, government has too much power. And we need, as Americans, to stand up and say no. That's one thing. We have to draw a line in the sand and say we're not going to comply. And if they have to push so hard, if they have to coerce you to give you million-dollar lotteries and all sorts of, you know, iPads and iPods and all these different incentives in order to get a product, then what's wrong with the product? And if they have to protect these companies from liability, Pfizer has estimated they will make $33 billion in revenue from these shots. If they can make that kind of money with no liability, why should we take the shot? If they won't stand behind their own product, why should I take that product? That suggests to me, one, they don't stand behind their product. Two, they have no incentive to make a safe product. Right? And three, that the government is getting involved and pushing this on people should be a red flag to any thinking person.
Okay. Hey, Leslie Manoukian, we're just about out of time. I would recommend that people go to Health Freedom Defense Fund and contribute there. I have a number of people that reach out to me that are very concerned about being forced to take this vaccine in order to remain employed. And how would you like to wrap this up? We have just about a minute left. Leslie.
Well, please go to healthfreedomdefense.org and learn about all of our legal actions and how you can support us. You can become a member, you can subscribe, you can contribute, and becoming a member really helps us because it gives us standing across the country to file lawsuits. So healthfreedomdefense.org. And then with respect to the people who are being, being forced, I mean, Kim, Health Freedom Defense Fund and other organizations with whom we, with which we partner are doing all we can to fight back against these mandates. But the simple truth is that there are not enough lawyers in this country to fight all of the mandates that are coming down. And at some point, people are going to have to choose where their line in the sand is and decide, do I want to work for an employer that thinks it is their prerogative to force me to put something into my body against my will? And if they can do that, can they force me to abort my baby? Can they force me to take an antidepressant? Can they force me to do anything else? What else? Where is it going to stop? And there are 200 or 300 other vaccines in development. So are they going to force all of those? And how many times a year am I going to do this? So I think, unfortunately, it's really incumbent upon your listeners to decide for themselves what their principles are and what they're willing to stand up for. And if they won't stand up for that now, what's going to happen in 3 months, a year, or 3 years? My guess is it'll be a lot worse. It's not going to get better without people standing up.
Well, Leslie Manoukian, thank you to you for standing up. And again, that is healthfreedomdefense.org and then the greatergoodmovie.org as well. And then your website, Leslie Manoukian. Let's see, that's .com, I think it is. Leslie, thank you so much.
Kim, thank you so much for having me. I am so grateful for the opportunity to have this conversation with you. It's so important.
And our quote for today is from Elie Wiesel. It says, even in darkness, it is possible to create light. My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.